Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This only has chapter 5. Kansena parhita gaura
Kansena parhita gaura
Putana bala gatani Sisumscha charanignanti Pura grama vrajadishu Kansena prahita gaura Putana bala gatani Sisumscha charanignanti Pura grama vrajadishu Kansena prahita gaura Putana bala gatani Sisumscha charanignanti Pura grama vrajadishu
I have this.
Vaishnavis. Gangsena,
by King Kangsa,
Prahita,
engaged previously,
Gora,
very fierce,
Putana,
by the name Putana,
Balaghatani,
a Rakshasi
who killed,
Sishun,
small babies,
Chachara,
wandered,
Nignanti,
killing,
Puragrama
Vrajadishu,
in
towns, cities,
and villages here and
there.
Translation.
While Nanda Maharaj
was returning
to Gokula,
the same fierce
Putana whom
Kangsa had previously
engaged
to kill babies
was wandering
about in the
towns,
cities, and
villages
doing her
nefarious duty.
There's no
purport. We'll go to the
next verse.
Na yatra
sravanadini
raksho
gnani
svakarmasu
kurvanti
satvatam
bartur
yatu
dhanyas
chatatrahi.
Translation,
my dear king,
wherever
people in any
position
perform their
occupational
duties
of devotional
service by
chanting and hearing
Shravanam
Kirtanam Vishnu,
there
cannot be any
danger
from bad
elements.
Therefore,
there was no need
for anxiety
about
Gokula while
the Supreme
Personality of
Godhead
was personally
present.
Purport
by His Divine
Grace A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami Srila
Prabhupada Ki.
Shukadev
Goswami
spoke this verse
to mitigate
the anxiety
of Maharaj
Parikshit.
Maharaj
Parikshit was a
devotee of Krishna,
and therefore
when he understood
that Putana
was causing
disturbances
in Gokula,
he was
somewhat perturbed.
Shukadev
Goswami therefore
assured him
that there was
no danger in
Gokula.
Srila
Bhaktivinoda
Thakur has sung,
Namasraya
kari yatane
tumi
takaha
apana
kaje.
Everyone
is thus advised
to seek
shelter in the
chanting of
the Hare Krishna
Maha Mantra
and remain
engaged
in his own
occupational
duty.
There is
no loss in this,
and
the gain is
tremendous.
Even
from a material
point of view,
everyone
should take to
chanting the
Hare Krishna
mantra to
be saved
from
all kinds of
danger.
This
world
is full
of danger.
Padam
padam yad
vipadam.
Therefore,
we should be encouraged
to chant the
Hare Krishna
Maha mantra
so that
in our family,
society,
neighborhood,
and nation,
everything
will be smooth
and free
from danger.
Om
Ajnana Tamarandasya
Gnanjana
Shalakaya
Chakshuran
Militam Yena
Tasmai
Sri Gurave
Namaha
Sri Chaitanya
Manobishtam
Stapitam
Yena Bhutale
Svayam Rupa
Kidamayam
Dadati
Svapadantikam
Vanchakalpatrubhyascha
Kripa
Sindhubhyevacha
Patitanam
Pavanebhyo
Vaishnavebhyo
Namo Namaha
Jai Sri
Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu
Nityananda
Sri
Advaita Gadadhar
Srivasari
Gaura Bhaktivinda
Hare
Krishna Hare
Krishna
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 Hare
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 Rama
Hare Rama
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 Hare Hare.
So I first
ask for the
blessings of
the senior Vaishnavas
that I
may speak
properly.
And the
Gaudiya Vaishnav
Siddhanta
is handed down to
us by Srila
Prabhupada.
So
we're continuing
with
Shukadeva
Goswami
speaking
to Maharaj
Parikshit
about
Putana
coming
to Gokula.
And
in the purport, Srila
Prabhupada states
that this verse where he says, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. This was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit because he became perturbed upon hearing about Putana coming to Gokula. How could there be disturbances in Gokula? But we understand that this is the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Demons, they would come to Gokula, earthly Bhoma Vrindavan. And Krishna will kill these demons. We'll read how Krishna kills Putana. So he reassures Maharaj Parikshit that wherever there's chanting and hearing of Krishna, there is no danger. Yesterday, Svavas Prabhu was speaking about fear in this material world. Because in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this world is full of danger. And he quoted again, param param yad viparam. So again, today in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us again that this world is full of danger. But we live in such a society that danger is on the news, danger is in movies, danger is all around us. But it's kind of pushed into the background, especially when you're younger. I remember maybe a couple years ago, a friend connected with me. We were school friends, hadn't talked to him for a long time. And he was joking with me. He said, man, do you remember all the stuff we did? I'm surprised we lived. Because when you're young, you don't have that fear of danger, isn't it? When you're young, you just want to have fun. You want to do so many crazy things. When you get a little bit older, or when you have children, everything's danger. There's danger everywhere. Oh my gosh. But in the society that we live in, danger, old age, disease, they don't want us to focus on that so much as they want us to be passive consumers. They want us to focus on buying, shopping, go to school so that you can get a good job, get a family, make a career out of yourself. Don't worry about birth, death, old age and disease. Just worry about getting the American dream, the good things in life. And what has been created is like a Disneyland society. You get a job, get a family, everything's going to be happily ever after. But Krishna reminds us, Dukalayam Ashashvatam, this world is temporary and it's full of misery. Now, one can push away birth, death, old age, disease. They can push it back, just try to focus on having a good time in this material world. But then you can flip to the other side and all you think about is death. Instead of becoming Krishna consciousness, you become death conscious. You become conscious of death. And there's one story that's told in the Puranas where there was a pundit who was an astrologer. And he looked at his own charts. And when he looked at his charts, he found out that when his middle ages, he's going to be killed by a crocodile. So he said, okay, I'm going to go to the desert where there's no water. So this pundit, he found a king who lived in the desert. There's no body of water anywhere around. And he was engaged as the court pundit of the king. So he taught the children of the king, especially the son. And one day he gave a class to the king's son about how it's so purifying, it's so spiritually powerful to bathe in the Ganga during Makara Sankranti. So the son, when he heard this, he said, I want to go to the Ganga. I want to bathe in the Ganga with you, my guru. The pundit, he said, I can't go anywhere near water. I must stay here in the desert. So the son, he went to his father, the king, and he said, I want to go to the Ganga and I want to take my guru with me. So the king, he actually was upset. How is this pundit refusing to take you to the Ganga? This seems like something very good for you spiritually. So the king, he ordered that if the pundit didn't take him to the Ganga, then he was going to be severely punished. So the pundit, he said, when I was younger, I looked at my astrological chart. I'm going to be killed by a crocodile. Can't go anywhere near water. And this pundit, he had actually given up his spiritual practices just to try to avoid death. So the king said, no, what we'll do is we'll create this beautiful cage so that you could bathe in the Ganga and no aquatics will come anywhere near you. So the pundit, he said, okay, I'll go with you to the Ganga. So they got to the Ganga. It was Makara Sankranti. They were bathing in the Ganga in this cage. And the son asked the pundit, are you afraid? And the pundit said, no, I'm in this nice cage. Nothing can get me. I have no fear of the crocodile. And the son said, I am that crocodile. And he ate the pundit. So just see, the pundit, he gave up his spiritual life so that he could go to the desert and try to avoid death. But destiny came anyway. We can try and run from so many things and become death conscious. But whatever's going to happen is whatever's going to happen. And so we have these different upadis, these designations that we think we are. We're spending so much time in this material world focusing on who we are not than who we really are. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paravenam nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. By performing devotional service, one becomes freed from those upadis. He uses the material senses in the service of the master of the senses. And devotional service starts with the tongue. Atta Shri Krishna Namari Na Bhavad Grayam Indriya Sevan Muke Hi Jivado Swayam Evas Bharatira Jivado. It starts with the tongue. By chanting and using the tongue to glorify the Lord, rather than to glorify this material world, this Disneyland society, this death consciousness, by glorifying Krishna, by chanting Krishna's names, one becomes free from all these upadis, these false designations. And so Shukadeva Goswami, he states that wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he said, everyone is thus advised to seek shelter in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it starts. Devotional service starts with the tongue. In the translation says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So devotional service starts with hearing and chanting about the presidential election. Oh, sorry. It starts with hearing and chanting about sports. No, it starts with hearing and chanting about Vishnu, about Krishna. Kalar doshanid he rajan astiheka mahangunaha kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangam param virajet. This Kali Yuga, this material world that we're living in now, is an ocean of faults. But there is one great quality about it, that by hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra, one can be easily liberated. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift to the world. He garlanded the world with the holy name. And he's begging us to just chant. Krishna himself, in the mood of his devotee, came to give this special, special, easily process of chanting the holy names. And so we have to change things spiritually rather than materially. Srila Prabhupada states in the purport, even from a material point of view, everyone should take to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra to be saved from all kinds of danger. He said, even from a material point of view. So we see in this world that many people in their family, society, neighborhood, and nation, they're trying to change everything materially. There's so many different things going on nowadays. Black Lives Matter to protesting in North Dakota. People think they're going to change the world by changing the president. People think that they're going to change the world in so many ways. But padam padam yad vipadam. This material world is full of danger at every step. No matter how much you try to change it materially, there's a hurricane coming, 2 million people have been evacuated. How can you stop a hurricane? How can you protect yourself from an earthquake? How can you protect yourself from so many things in this material world? So Srila Prabhupada says that we have to change our material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Yes, there's going to be danger, but we can be free of that danger by chanting the holy names, by changing everything spiritually rather than materially. We've seen so many different so-called revolutions come and go, so many different revolutionaries. And actually, they haven't changed that much in this world. The world is still going on as it has been. History repeats itself. And so we see a powerful example in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changing things spiritually. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to travel from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. And so he spoke his desire to Sri Ramananda Roy and Srirupa Damodar Goswami that I want to go to Vrindavan. Please allow me to go. So they said, Lord, you are completely independent. We can't stop you from doing anything that you want. We just have one request of you, that you take a pure-hearted Brahmin with you who will be able to cook and beg alms for you. Since you're going to be traveling, especially long distances and through forests, this person, he can carry your kamandalu, he can carry your other stuff and cook for you at different times. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, it must be a new man, because if I take one of my associates, then the others might get jealous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that point. And so they said that there is a pure-hearted Brahmin named Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He can go with you, and he's of pure mind. Because previously, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to South India, he traveled with a person named Kal Krishnadas. And Kal Krishnadas, even in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fell away from his devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to rescue him. So Srirupa Damodar Goswami assured him that this Brahmin was of pure mind, pure intentions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't have to worry about him. And then they said, and please take another servant, and he can help and assist Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to those terms. And so the next morning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without telling anybody, he left with Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and they started traveling to Vrindavan. The Lord's associates woke up, and they saw that the Lord wasn't there, and they became filled with anxiety. Where had the Lord gone? But Srirupa Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, assured them that everything is okay. He's going to Vrindavan. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, he decided not to go by the main roads, but to go through the forest areas. And so he went through a forest named Jarikanda Forest. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the forest, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was following behind him, he noticed that there was rhinoceroses, tigers, elephants, boars, all of these animals came right up in a line to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was feeling kind of nervous, these huge animals coming so close. Because if we go to the forest and there's tigers, lions and bears, oh my, we become fearful. We become very afraid of these types of animals. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chanted the holy names and walked past all of these animals. And one day when they were traveling through the forest, there was a tiger on the path. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had touched the tiger with his foot, and the tiger came up. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the tiger and said, "Chant Hare Krishna." And the tiger chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." And in another place, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was bathing and he was murmuring his Gayatri mantras. And there were elephants, wild elephants that came up to bathe next to the Lord. Huge animals. Can you imagine being next to these wild elephants when you're bathing? We would be fearful. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he splashed the elephants and requested them to chant Krishna, Krishna. And the elephants being splashed by the water from the Lord's lotus hand and being requested to chant, they started screaming the holy names. Some of them even fell down in ecstasy chanting the holy names. And in another place, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is walking through the forest, and these does, they started following him. Deer and these does, they came up and they started following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when these does, they were following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six or seven tigers also came into the group right next to the deer. And seeing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord said, Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So this is the abode of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he started chanting the holy names, the deer and the tigers actually started dancing together and touching mouths. The deer and the tigers, they were kissing in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling through Jharkhand forest, he saw the forest as Vrindavan. He saw the hills as Govardhan, the rivers as the river Jamuna. Wherever he went, he was seeing Vrindavan. And so Srila Prabhupada is talking today about changing the world. And to start with changing the world, we have to change our consciousness. From material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. And it all starts with chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes we have this notion that, oh, I want to save the world. I want to change the world. But change and saving starts with ourselves. When we fly in an airplane, the stewardess always comes over to us. And when we're sitting with our daughter, they say, first put the oxygen mask on yourself and then your child. Right, Mataji? And so, this is a very important point, that even in that circumstance, we have to save ourselves to save our daughter. So if we're wanting to change the world, wanting to save the world, change it from being full of danger to being filled with deers and tigers dancing and chanting Hare Krishna together, then we have to change ourselves first. We have to take this process very seriously. And then we chant the holy names, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagni Navapanam, that it cleanses the mirror of the heart. We're able to see who we really are, Jivera Sarupohe Krishna Nityadas, rather than what others want us to be, or in our conditioning, who we think we are. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Bhrigupati Prabhu. Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the earlier part of your class, you were telling that story about the devotee who was, the person who's an astrologer. Coincidentally, just last night I was looking up on the Veda base about the Bhrigu Samhita. And I found this one reference where Prabhupada was saying, yeah, Bhrigu Samhita is, there's about, I think, about 15 or 14 references. And basically in each one of them, Prabhupada was saying, it's for real, you know. If you get a qualified Bhrigu Samhita reader, they could tell you about your past life, your present life, and what's going to happen in your future. And in the last reference, Prabhupada said, just like myself, this was like out of TKG's diary. It was right towards the end of his life. He was saying it was predicted that at the age of 70, I would open many temples. And then he went on to say, and 80, everything is finished. So he said, if I live through this, he says, that is an extension. So my question is, there's that verse in the Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nidrahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajan, that somebody engages in devotional service and their karma can be minimized or changed or something like that. So I was just kind of curious. I mean, if Srila Prabhupada wasn't eligible for that, who would be? In other words, like you would think that, I'm asking just for a comment, I mean, Prabhupada was like heading up the Krishna conscious movement. His presence was, crucial to the well-being of the movement, the expansion of the movement, and somehow or another, he just, according to that chart, he got his 80 years and no extension. So I was just kind of wondering if you could say something about that. How does that work?
I'm not very expert in Bhrigu Sanhita or, astrological things, but Srila Prabhupada was completely surrendered to the will of Krishna. So, I mean, even as reading earlier, it's in the part of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going through Jarikanda Forest, Srila Prabhupada in the purport makes the point that the representative or the acharya should not be considered an ordinary human being. So for us to speculate on that for Srila Prabhupada, I think it's way below my adhikar. I don't think that we should consider Srila Prabhupada an ordinary human being. He's definitely free from all karma in all respects. And there's stories of Srila Prabhupada speaking about how he was requested by Krishna to come to the material world. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, no, I don't want to go. But Krishna said that, I reassure you, and so he came. So when we speak of Srila Prabhupada, especially as Acharya, personal associate of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, I don't think we should speculate on these types of matters. If anybody, Archita Prabhu has a...
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class, Bhav Gopal Prabhu. It's like asking, why did any of the other Acharyas leave when they left? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had reestablished the importance of Krishna consciousness that had been lost and perverted. Why didn't he stay another 50 years and make it really, really strong? Why didn't Srila Bhaktisiddhanta leave so early? He could have stayed, obviously, another 30, 40, 50 years and really made his movement strong in India. So, like you said, when you're dealing with a pure devotee, that means they're completely surrendered to Krishna, and everything they do is orchestrated by Krishna. Krishna is the supreme director. He's directing everything. And therefore, again, I've stressed this point so many times, but it's cropped up again recently, where, we have some scholars in our movement who think that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, but that doesn't mean that everything that he did was okay, and you have the right to criticize some of the things that he's done, and, just like a child has the right when they grow up to criticize their parents. Nonsense. Nonsense. If you accept that Prabhupada is a pure devotee, then everything he did, everything he said was completely directed by Krishna. So you're criticizing Krishna. It's like criticizing Arjuna for killing Karna when he stepped off the chariot. Krishna told him to do it. So if you criticize Arjuna, you're criticizing Krishna. So to criticize Prabhupada for anything that he did or said is criticizing Krishna. Because he's a pure devotee and everything that he did was completely directed by Krishna. It may seem wrong or off to you because you're off. If you're seeing properly that Prabhupada is a pure devotee, then everything he did was completely orchestrated by Krishna. And like he said, I didn't write these books. Krishna dictated and I wrote them. So everything Prabhupada did was directed by Krishna. So if you criticize anything that he did, you're criticizing Krishna. But this is our problem. Some of these scholars, they get such big brains. If you challenge them on anything, they'll fight tooth and nail. How dare you criticize me? And I can prove to you that I'm right. But if they reserve the right to criticize anyone and everyone, including Prabhupada. So this is the problem with scholarship. It makes you such a big brain that you can't see clearly anymore. You see, don't challenge me about anything I say. And I know I have personal experience of some big, big scholars in our movement. Anything at all, whether you're dealing with politics or music or anything, if you differ with them, they'll fight you tooth and nail. But they reserve the right to criticize Prabhupada. Mm. This is the fallacy of scholarship. And that's why a scholar has to be a devotee scholar. Just like a Raja has to be Rishi also, Rajarshi. This is what the Vedic culture is meant for, actually, for cultivating Rajarshis. So similarly, scholar has to be scholar devotee, not just scholar. If you're just a scholar, you get bewildered by your own scholarship, like the Digvijay Pandit who challenged even Lord Chaitanya. You see, this is the problem. So yes, your question is, why did Prabhupada leave? Because Krishna wanted him to leave at that time. Yes, obviously he could have stayed another 20, 50, 200 years. He himself said at Kumbh Mela that there are rishis on this planet, there are sages on this planet who have been here for hundreds of years, and they'll probably be here for 100 more years. So he could have obviously stayed for 300, 400, 500 years if Krishna wanted. But that's not what Krishna wanted. He wanted him to leave at that point. Just like Parikshit had to leave so that Kali Yuga could come in. Mm. So similarly, Prabhupada had to leave so certain things could happen.
Okay.
It's up to the speaker to decide who he wants to
ask. Sachin Tanoi Prabhu. Oh, okay.
As per my understanding, karmadi nirdhati kinchit bhakti bhajo, that works for everybody, but it works only for a prarabdha. That means the karma that is not fructified yet. So prarabdha means the karma that we have already received, like this body. So at the time of our birth, the death time is also decided. So nobody can escape that, nobody. So unless Krishna, you know, gives us special mercy, but in, you know, general scenarios, at the time of birth, the death time is also decided, which is prarabdha, which cannot be changed. And this verse, karmani nirdhati, that refers to a prarabdha, which is not yet fructified, which can be vanquished by chanting the names of Krishna.
Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.